bottom of the bell curve, whether it is in distributions of intelligence or other personal qualities, who are never going to be rich or famous, the ways that they are going to find satisfying places in the world is because they have roles as parents and as members of community which are meaningful. And what social policy has done the last 50 years is to denude communities of the kinds of activities that give communities vitality, that engage them in what should be called, I think, the stuff of life.
The point of a gun for a long time. We've been in Iraq right now, bombing and, I mean, bombing the living snot out of these people for 13 years. Apparently, the mission was not accomplished during what I call Desert Dust. And we had a perfect opportunity. I even talked to some special forces guys that were close enough to Saddam Hussein that they could smell him. But they were ordered not to take the guy out.
The old soldiers ambushed us. I was the only survivor. You're probably wondering what changed me from the prosaic deadbeat I was to the effervescent gay blade I am today.
Do you think you can do anything for him? You looked in the freezer then, said Artemis. The officer nodded. I'm sorry I did now. He was a good man. Is a good man, insisted Artemis. I'm not ready to give up on him yet. Vaz stood aside to admit two Ice Age paramedics. A moment later, they rolled Butler past on a trolley. A frosting of ice covered his face. Any surgeon who could fix this, said Barr, would have to be a real magician.
Oh, gee, I guess it's okay to get my dad's gun and go down the street and shoot all my friends.
Evidently, they wanted him for the larger stage play. And by the way, John, before the invasion of Iraq, I had seen Saddam Hussein on television and sitting there petting his little Persian kitty, looking directly into the camera, and he said, you know, he says, I've been set up. Now, we were over there selling him these weapons of mass destruction, bioweapons, and, you know, it was okay as long as we went and, you know, sold them to him, and he went over there and, you know, did the Iranians in. You know, that was fine.
Right.
But, you know, the public, the news medias in this country would, every once in a while, they would bring it up, it'd be quickly dismissed. But I would think that that's a point. I mean, we'd seen Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands with this man, supposedly, you know, one of the axes of evil on the face of the planet. So, you know, as I look at this, there has been, I guess you could call it a foreign policy, but one with a military bent and one of conquest. And, well, by the way, how much oil do they have?
Well, the second known largest reserves.
Mm-hmm. And at $48 a barrel, it was worth, Carl Schwartz, a friend of mine, figured this out. He said, you know, he said, we're talking over $10 trillion in oil over there. We're setting up military bases around the Caspian Sea. We're going to protect that oil over there. And, you know, it's really ironic. They haven't come out and said, well, look, if they would have came out with this, John, and said, look, you know, we're talking about national security here. Saddam Hussein in October of 2000 said that, nope, we're not going to do a deal in oil with dollars anymore. We're going to the euro.
That's when he... when he made that statement, that was the key to the end of his regime right there.
And but the major news medias are not talking about this. So here,
well, it's kind of hard to sit down to the and talk to the grieving mother of a 20-year-old dead Marine and tell her that her son died because of the value of the dollar as opposed to the euro.
Well, it's hard to do, but look, John, we're over there. You know, this is a sore spot with me because these clowns are getting ready.
CIA even doing. addressing in that is what are the self-collecting, self-organizing human communities going to be?
Here's my reward. 30 days in the cooler. Take him away.
The list, if you were going to make it complete and comprehensive, it would take several two-column pages. Some examples would be conscious versus unconscious.
Shake and you start to tremble and you have to think through it. I was still a kid. I knew it was going to be tough, but I couldn't quit. It was something that I had to see through. It made me reach beyond myself.
And he points out that there will be largely genetic groupings and then some sporadic philosophical groupings trying to assemble on those points.
Like family and religion is family what you're talking
about. Family and religion,
yeah.
Yes.
Ready to launch World War III.
The activation of an electronic brain exactly like ours.
After boot camp, a man. I'm a Marine.
Get me packed up now. I need to get the services.
What services? Who died?
No one yet.
Pepsi-Cola, P-E-P-S-I, that's your smartest cola buy.
I'll do it later. Wait, what am I doing? You know something, Freddy? You don't scare me anymore. Ow!
Joel! Jolie, get up! Come on, it's not worth it. They're not worth it, Joel! La, 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 he's not listening! Come on, Joel!
Stupid! I'm so ashamed.
It's okay. You're a little kid.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's where I lived. I wish I knew you when I was a kid.
Do you like my pink hat? Here, look, feel better. You can really kill me this time. It's my turn. Go. One,
You're
two, three.
You're really going to die, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One, two, three.
You're dead. Oh, my mom. It's okay. We're playing.
Hi, Joel's
it's not
mom.
Real.
Hey, he's killing me.
Okay. Dead yet? You're dead!
I think I got the hang of this. I still don't understand it. But I'm finding him quickly enough.
That's the house. Well, in that sensing, that's not possible. In that way, in terms of a person somehow providing all, and then certainly so, isn't really constructive. Having a husband or wife can be very constructive, certainly so.
That is where I feel my evolution has gone from. The first book I edited for MIT, Nanotechnology Research and Perspectives, which was purely a technological, a conference of purely technological and one or two commentaries on the economic and ecological impact, to a cultural understanding and critique in the most I'm currently working on, Molecular Becoming, Technology, Culture, and Survival, which probably won't be out until late 96, that the arena in which our transformation will occur is the mimetic arena, and it is the communications, it's the social construction of reality that we all participate in, and indeed religions are perhaps best understood as schemes of memes. They are woven together. A meme, to unpack that for a moment, is one definition that I like is it's a meat-based idea. The problem with saying idea as a word is it makes you think that you can have one or not have one, and it's something outside of you. Whereas a meme, which was the term was coined by Richard Dawkins to rhyme with gene, in that a gene is a piece of information carried by DNA. And a meme is a piece of pattern information carried by a human brain.
To place it in that agenda of what you want, what you're really after, may fall back into that category of being better than once again. And therefore, you see, all agendas, however big or small, can be placed somewhere on the continuum. Maybe not just between the opposites of possible and impossible, but leaning in this direction or that, somewhere on that continuum of possibility.
Chapter 1. Democracy Before America. In this chapter, you will witness thousands of years of history casually dismissed in a few minutes. Learn the difference between a totalitarian regime and a post-communist kleptocracy. Realize that no matter how horrible your life is, it's not as bad as a feudal serf's.
It is often said that America invented democracy. This view is, of course, an understatement. America invented not only democracy, but freedom, justice, liberty, and time-sharing.
Of appropriateness on that continuum of constructive or destructive.
It's a mental attitude. You represent something and you hold up a feeling of respect after completing boot camp.
You, although you've probably been exposed to it before, but indeed to anyone who hears that, with the meme about memes. And in fact, there was a comment I heard recently that the O.J. Simpson trial was having such an effect on our culture and overwhelming people because we did not have immune system and immune response to that particular mimetic pattern.
Following last Sunday's enormous march with its blocks-long 1,000 coffin display, activists in New York City were frequently encouraged by bystanders as they got to work jamming the RNC.
History may say we're already in World War III. If you look back at World War II, it was a ongoing war for the better part of 3 years before we ever got involved.
So our foreign policy...
The U.S. involvement in World War II was only 3 years and 8 months.
And we managed to kill more people in Vietnam than I think than we did in all of... Second World War, or was that true? Let me see, there was 58,000 and some change, and, oh, I'm sorry, we might have lost 80,000 during World War II, but that was a world war.
No, the United States lost well more than 250,000 men in World War II.
Okay.
Time versus the eternal or the atemporal.
What I've found is all the solutions are inside of me, and I just didn't know how to tap into that wisdom.
Yeah.
representative democracy is unquestionably our proudest achievement, the creation most uniquely our own. Even if the rest of the Western world would have come up with the idea themselves by the 1820s.
As dry welcome RNC notices were tacked onto a few local storefronts and marquees, opposing political statements were displayed everywhere, from windows to t-shirts to the ubiquitous and original political stickers covering everything.
So everyone apparently has had to take this into their systems to a tremendous degree.
Which is what media survives on. Finding
yes.
where we do not have the
immune system
yes. to resist.
Right.
No. Look, I got that big pack of hot dogs stapled to the back of my neck.
Grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days. Wheatgrass juice is live superfood.
Funding of these groups. Institution. It's said to be one of the most brutal. We have more on that. Then we have, for those of you who are interested in the genealogical relationships between George Walker Bush and John Forbes Kerry, and now we're posting the relationship between George Herbert Walker Bush, Barbara Bush, George Walker Bush, and Big Time Dick Cheney. We have that up there for you.
Earthquake. Americans don't know what tragedy is. A little 6.5 earthquake can set them to chattering like monkeys. A piece of Chinaware broken. The Union Rescue Mission falls down. 6 a.m. They sit in their car. They're all driving around. Where are they going? A little excitement has broken into their canned lives. Pardon. Stranger stands next to stranger, chattering gibberish fear, anxious laughter. My baby, my flower pots, my ceiling, my bank account. This is just a tickler, a feather, and they can't bear it. Suppose they bombed the city as other cities have been bombed. Not with an A-bomb, but with ordinary blockbusters day after day, every day. As has happened in other cities of the world. If the rest of the world could see you today, their laughter would bring the sun to its knees. And even the flowers would leap from the ground like bulldogs. And chase you away to where you belong, wherever that is. And who cares where it is, as long as it's somewhere away from here. Listen, will you let me read this shit and just be quiet?
What happens is this. An agenda that is open, that I am fully aware of and fully convey. When it is constructive, when it is very possible, and when it is very appropriate, it then does stimulate. It does inspire motivation to achieve. It does inspire the emotion and emotion that is success. And it results in positive creation. It results in power, responsibility. It results in an actualized reality. An open agenda that is appropriate, constructive, and possible.
This is too dark, depressing, and dull. It's not what people want to see.
I suppose that pumped-up, over-adrenalized male macho bullshit is.
Excuse me, my male macho bullshit just broke 180 mil.
Innumerable statements from the people of New York railed eloquently against the RNC, the Republican Party, the second Bush administration, and its policies, most prominently the war in Iraq. While riding from the Bronx to Lower Manhattan, I spoke with a native New Yorker about his experience of 9/11 and the relevance of the RNC's coming to New York.
I was asleep, actually, during the...
Now, a very open agenda, that is very inappropriate, very impossible, and totally destructive, or even partially so. And there are those out there in the world, you don't find yourself doing this so much, but there are those in the world who truly do have very open agendas. They know exactly what they want. I want to control everybody I lay my hands on. I want to be better than everybody else, and I'm proud of it, and I'm not willing to mince words about it. And I convey it in everything I do, in my total parental attitude, my total superiority, my total arrogance. It's wide open. Anybody can see it. I'm expressing it totally. But it's inappropriate. It's impossible to truly ever accomplish, and it truly is destructive. Now, truly, that open agenda will still inspire a motivation to achieve. That person will do everything they can to achieve that arrogance that they seek. It will inspire emotion and emotion to attempt to succeed. But the result is often crazy-making, because no matter how superior I feel, there's probably somebody more out there. What about the next person I meet? Who's around the corner? Who's out there that I don't even know that might possibly be smarter, better looking, better, more accomplished, richer, healthier, happier than me?
So why then has participation in this most wondrous system withered? As heirs to a legacy more than two centuries old, it is understandable why present-day Americans would take their own democracy for granted. President freely chosen from a wide open field of two men every 4 years, a Congress with a 99% incumbency rate, a Supreme Court comprised of nine politically appointed judges whose only oversight is the icy scythe of death. All these reveal a system fully capable of maintaining itself. But our perfect democracy, which neither needs nor particularly wants voters, is a rarity. It is important to remember there still exist many other forms of government in the world today.
Yes, and I cannot see a television model, but rather an internet model of intelligence and learning. I mean, the television model is a push model of information being distributed, whereas an internet model is a pull model of people pulling
seeking.
Them. Yes, mm-hmm. The information that they want in self-collecting communities. While indeed the medium as in of the internet, while as does any medium, isolates one from the other. Any medium does do that. I mean, even the supposedly unmediated contact of face-to-face, flesh-to-flesh.
Stop already. You feel better in a red dress than in a cheese Danish.
People understand that's wrong. They live in a culture and a society which is and a value system that make.
coming to New York.
I was asleep, actually, during the what actually happened, and then I got a phone call. It was my...
Artemis glanced down at us. That's the plan, Detective Inspector. That's the plan. The lights of London were spread out below Holly like the stars of some turbulent galaxy. She spoke into a helmet mic. Foley, what now?
Now,
said Foley.
We wait.
Less than 5 minutes later, Foley broke radio silence.
We got something from Sentinel. I'm sending the file to your helmet.
The Sentinel system was a series of monitoring units that Foley had piggybacked to obsolete US and Russian satellites. Their function was to monitor all human telecommunications by picking up on certain key words.
This call was made in London minutes ago. It's loaded with keywords. I've never heard anything like it.
Holly used voice command. Play?
Play,
said a voice, hazy with distortion.
It's just a string of words, but there has to be a connection to the probe. The call came from inside a cryogenics institute in London.
Holly set her wings to manual. Send me the institute's coordinates. Artemis leaned against the cryogenics mobile unit's rear bumper and wiped a coating of frost from the spectacles he'd retrieved from Butler's jacket. These were no ordinary spectacles. They'd been specially tooled to accommodate filters taken from an LEP helmet. Anti-shield filters. You never know, Butler had said. Someday, Commander Root could be replaced with someone who isn't quite so fond of us.
Your science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
On the line, she was crying, her voice was shaking, and she said that the World Trade Centers had been destroyed. And I remember I couldn't believe her, and I started trembling. I looked outside and I saw these ashes floating by my window. I'll never forget the way it smelled. This horrible stench of chemicals burning and ashes everywhere. But the thing that really makes me sad is that I remember at that time that there was this great outpouring of like love and affection and unity that occurred around the world, and everybody felt that
to make crazy making and carry to the extreme, it can produce sociopathic behavior.
Is mediated by the sensory organs and the molecular systems that, quote unquote, we are.
New metaphysics. Head on to the electron. Drop dead center. All vectors in a dynamic flux that corroborates center sphere below, drop dead. High noon. The dark and silky midnight. The solstice. And generally the vertical line. Talking straight, wending through the dream arcade. right around here, that old dotted line.
People who purposely go around being destructive, inappropriate, undoing things, or trying to do things that are impossible to accomplish, and making no bones about it, can lead to a certain sociopathic behavior.
Well, that's our right around this time-space neighborhood. Actually, I should unstate that. That's life around and within. Nope, I will retract that. That's a life of a time-space neighborhood near me. I can wend my way through. At least every other time. The old new metaphysics hanging around your pal, your media ghost friend, sometimes can reach out more than old mom and dad, brother or sis, or even a babysitter on occasion. If you can afford a babysitter. Won't even go into the nanny thing. Or the surrogate military school type father image, or your intimate friend who you buy gum from down on the street, way down there. Passing through. NewMetaphysics.com, of course. It's like the neighborhood candy man outlet. A series of programs in the galaxy of media programming today.
But since there is no abiding reality to the we, the question comes back again to the non-innocent position that I come to of enjoying primates and enjoying living with primates and our survival in the long term, because it's not about ideas dancing in some space. It is about our meat and the manipulation, both mimetically and materially with our tools.
That's true, but it's very, very small. But it's just like the real things. Oh, just reviewing there, since sometimes you have to kick off from something familiar. Gary at newmetaphysics.com. You know that's email. Or you can throw a rock with a message on it. Just send that to someone else, though. So when is somebody the same person or a person just not without that other part? Doesn't sound like much to say it, you know? But as an old teacher of mine used to say, can you do? Mm-hmm.
So not that awfully many people will keep their destructive, impossible, or inappropriate agendas open. So they get closed.
Standing there at graduation is the epitome of that feeling. And then they say, dismissed. You're a Marine now. This flood of feeling and emotion goes over your entire body. There's nothing like it.
Become few and the proud. Corporal Joseph Schumacher, call 1-800-MARINES. The change is forever.
The meme about memes.
What had happened was so horrible. Everyone was behind New York. There was never as much goodwill towards the United States as there was.
We are still encased in meat.
Impossible or inappropriate. Open. So they get closed. But you see, that's not the only reason agenda becomes closed. It is important to understand this. You can have agendas that are at the high end of that spectrum, the high end of that continuum, that are very appropriate agendas, that are very possible, and that are really could be indeed beautifully constructed, and still hide it or lose it, still drop it, allowing it to be partially or totally invisible, but not letting it fall out of the reality. And that often happens when you have one of these agendas and are told or convinced in some way where it is demanded that you drop it. Perhaps you are taught, or you are conditioned, or you are manipulated, or even threatened into dropping that agenda. Some of you, in your childhood shame, feeling so inadequate, feeling so flawed, so defective, gave up on some very beautiful agendas. Though it was possible, you said, not for me. Though it was constructive, no, because I am a mutant human being, because I am so flawed. It's not constructive for me. It's really very inappropriate for such a monster as me. And therefore, very beautiful agendas that could have stayed open got shut down. Some of you, based on the level of betrayals or abandonments that occurred way back then, and sometimes not so far in the past after all, similarly decided by being taught, conditioned, manipulated, or threatened to give up perfectly beautiful agendas, perfectly wonderful agendas. Some of you, due to the contractual arrangement that you made with a parent, often an offender in your very shame, okay, I will give up my agenda of succeeding, even though it is very appropriate, very possible, and very constructive to survive with you, to make you happy. I'll give it up. I'll drop it. Others of you, due to the pain and the threat, or due to the constant harangue, you'll never be happy, you'll never be happy, don't bother trying, don't fool yourself, don't set yourself up, you'll never be happy, you'll never be happy. Okay, okay. The conditioning, the persistence, I'll give it up, okay. I won't try to be happy. Get off my back, leave me alone. So you drop, because you've been taught that it's impossible for you or for anyone, because you've been conditioned by the constant harangue, because you've been manipulated through shame or through guilt or through deserving issues or through betrayal or abandonment, or you've been threatened. You keep that agenda and you're in trouble. I won't love you. Oh, maybe they didn't say it that overtly. But it was there, and you got the message clearly. Your very livelihood, your very sanity was threatened. And so you dropped this agenda. And it may have partially disappeared, tucking it away, bringing it out only when you're alone, secretly still wanting it. Or maybe it totally disappeared, becoming therefore lost. But you didn't drop it. You didn't let it fall out of reality. Maybe you hid most of it. Maybe you hid all of it. But you didn't let it drop out of reality. Perhaps because a part of you knew, someday I might be able to resurrect it.
Jim.
Huh?
There it is, baby.
Oh, shit.
Shall we try?
Wait, Ty. Look, this is our chance to make it big. We play it right, and we can get a pound of pure. But if we get wasted, we'll fuck it up.
Right on. Hey, look, I ain't trying to jive you, Jim. I don't want to be running the streets my whole life with my sneakers all ripped up, my nose running down to my chin. All I'm saying is we should take a little taste so we know how much to cut. It's business.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's an innate part of that expansion of consciousness. And you see, this used to be satisfactory in this century, because what's happening here? What's happening here is the male energy is getting fulfilled. Oh, maybe inadequately, but it's getting fulfilled. It's attempting to get fulfilled, but the feminine energy is not. The feminine energy is not. It's stopping halfway. Stopping halfway, it's backing up, it's coagulating, it's getting thick in there. And we would suggest here that this expression happens. Now, what happens in this kind of world? What happens in this kind of world where these energies are at least attempted to get expressed, and only part of it is over here, is that, of course, he cannot provide her feminine energy. He cannot provide her that feminine energy. Many of you men involved in relationships know that. You can't be the man that is in her. You can barely be the man you are, but to be the man that's in her. And so what ends up happening here is that she gets disappointed, yeah? She has imagination, she has feelings, she's will and action, all right? She's not going after the super jock. She's not going after the perfect Mr. He-Man, etc. She wants a man with brains, that thinks, that feels, that's a little bit sensitive, etc. All right, you know, he doesn't have to be the most handsome in the class, etc. He just has to be able to function and be able to operate and maybe have a few other qualities about him. But still, he's supposed to supply this meaning and understanding, and when he doesn't, she does one of several things. She either initially tries to manipulate him into being the man that she thinks he ought to be. She tries to manipulate him into being the archetypal man. Earn more for me. Take care of me better. Do for me. Give me children. Give me your children. Whatever. Trying to manipulate him. When that manipulation doesn't work, then she either gets angry and leaves him, or in that sense she settles, she gives up and endures him. What happens on the other side when he isn't developing these qualities and these and expecting his wife, his woman, his mate, to provide the understanding and meaning for life, to provide those energies for him? And she can't, of course. there isn't a woman here who can be the man that a man needs to be. He doesn't really try to manipulate her into being the perfect man. See, that would be rather difficult. Oh, sometimes he will, by becoming very weak. He'll try to manipulate her, but he's not as successful in the reverse.
That time, you know, everybody felt that we had to stand together. And I feel like George Bush is totally...
Why, by getting weak? I can't balance a checkbook anymore, so all right, she has to take that over. I can't coordinate packing for the trip. I can't figure out how to get the kids off to school in the morning. I can't boil an egg. I can't do anything. I'm just this helpless big boy. To try to get her to come in here and provide understanding and meaning.
Fine, leave. Your project's set up. You don't need me anymore. You got what you wanted, and I got laid.
Funny, he could balance his checkbook fine before. He could pack his own clothes. He could make his own peanut butter and jelly like anybody else. But all of a sudden, now that he's married and she won't be the man that she won't be the man he wants her to be, he can't really manipulate her into being that man.
Which one of you jokers told the system to display this message?
But she tries through weakness. And how many of you look at your parents and saw a weak father? Where mother had to pay the bills, where mother had to coordinate this and coordinate that. Maybe he signed them, but she took care of it all. She coordinated and organized everything, got everybody to school on time, got everybody home, got bought the clothes, got them thick, did all these sorts of things. I mean, she was a human dynamo in that activity, doing all those functions because he was playing weak. Why? Because he wanted her to be the man that he wanted to have.
Listen and learn.
He did not succeed at manipulating her to do that. And then he gave up. And then he gave up either seeking some 20-year-old bimbo. I see, not a 20-year-old intelligent woman. A 20-year-old bimbo. We're not saying all 20-year-olds are bimbos. Not at all. We're saying that the woman that this kind of man who gives up is attracted to is not the 20-year-old thinking woman. He's attracted to the 20-year-old bimbo who in that same thing is back here. He doesn't have much of this at all.
It's absolutely clear how that is. And people kind of make believe none of that exists. And so to say that, well, gee, if you play a video game, it teaches you how to kill people. I mean, that just defies common sense when you think about it.
I mean, all we need to do is go back to, you know, the 40s and 50s and look at rock and roll music. And look at Superman. You know, there were stories, you know, about Superman and how we needed to, you know, that was dangerous because they were afraid people were going to jump out of windows to try to see if they could fly. And comic books. And Elvis Presley. I mean, we have a history of reacting to new media in very critical and harsh ways. At the end of the day, it is entertainment. And people who play these games fully understand they're entering into fantasy environments and engaging in a form of fantasy play, and that they're fully capable of separating that entertainment experience from real life. And the notion that you're going to play a game in which, you know, perhaps you get points for running over policemen, and that the average 16-year-old who just got their driver's license is going to jump in their car and run over policemen is frankly nonsense. I mean, people understand that if you run over pedestrians in the real world, you get into trouble. The claims that the people are prepared to make of them defy common sense.
That's what makes this
wander, all of that. How we could go from being with so many countries, you know, blindly following them wherever they want to go.
So, when someone sits in his chair, what I noticed is everything that I've heard for 13 years is the same as what I've been thinking.
If I can find it, if I can piece it together again.
On paper.
Agendas that are rating very high on the continuums can be lost, can be hidden.
Boom!
No refined sugar.
Sugar's everywhere.
Now sugar's everywhere. You know they even put sugar in bottled water?
I was sick with sugar.
That was my medicine. It nurtured me. It nurtured my spiraling brain that felt I was a loser.
Truth by you!
Truth by you!
Virtue is no
No sucking candies, very good, sir.
None of that stuff.
Just stay away from it. Check most bread. Watch your toothpaste.
No refined sugar.
I said for 30 days.
I'm going to eat right. I am going to pick up my spirits. And I am going to try. I found hope. And in that hope, I found a way.
Can you have a governmental partnership in which the government says, oh, we will join with the community and have these institutions in which you folks can feel like you're playing a meaningful role, but we, the government, will also help out? And I would argue the answer to that question is no.
Thank you.
like this with my camera on it, and I'm holding it standing up, and a bunch of undercover cops are squashing me against the wall, and I'm walking by, and I go to the person next to me, because they're going into a bodega where they must have had a base, and I go to the person next to me, hey, those cops must be going in for their Krispy Kremes. And the cop, one cop just stops, he turns and goes, oh, that's real funny. And then he, like, tries to sucker punch me in the balls, like, low, like, nobody can see it. Like, hard as a motherfucker. Like, if he had hit me, I would have gone down puking. But I had this 2-inch thick monopod here in front of me, and right in front of my balls, and he whacked that with his hand, like, hard as a... And it stung a little bit when it hit me, but it protected me, and I saw the look of pain on his face. And he walked off. And everybody around was laughing at me. I say this, baby, it did its job for that day.
Here, people shared information, resources, free vegan food, and songs. Activist lawyers offered instruction in civil disobedience and jail solidarity to a youthful group, some of whom planned to put themselves into harm's way.
My first experience was...
Certain agendas may not neatly fit on the continuum of on one side or the other, so black and white, so easily. Certain agendas may be contradictory. Indeed, it is very possible, but it's very inappropriate, and it's very destructive.
Going from the white hole into the black hole and this whole circular searing.
Headline of this news, July 8, 1947.
They didn't like
the Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been
poisoning the youth of various countries. But now that we have been in Afghanistan and that we've made sure that we've installed some regime in there that we can...
The meme about memes.
I want to cause somebody a lot of grief.
I knew it was going to be tough, but I couldn't quit. It was something that I had to see through. It made me reach beyond myself. After boot camp, I was a man, a Marine. Standing there at graduation, this flood of feeling and emotion goes over your entire body. There's nothing like it.
Become one of the few and the proud, like Corporal Joseph Schumacher. Call 1-800-MARINES. The change is forever.
Hey, I heard you scream.
Stress, a lot of pain. I want to threaten them and scare the life out of them.
And is now in the possession of the Army.
Called the Buddha. Now, the word Buddha is not a proper name, it's a title. And it's based on the Sanskrit root Buddha, B-U-D-H, which means to be awake. And so you could say the Buddha is the man who woke up from the dream of life as we ordinarily take it to be.
To them, and it might also backfire on you, maybe, maybe not. And therefore, it's not clean, it's not neat, it doesn't fit well, it's a contradictory agenda, even that one of wanting a spouse. It's appropriate to want someone to share life with, certainly so, and it's possible. But the underlying reasons, the real reason in that agenda, because then I'll be better than, superior to, I'll be totally powerful, I'll be able to have anything I want, and they'll take care of me forever, I can remain a child forever. I'll finally have a mother, yes, who will take care of me like my own should have. And as soon as we have a baby, I'll start calling her mother, just to remind myself of who she really is. How you doing, mother? And that doesn't mean that it's always that way. We're not saying it's absolute, but when it is, indeed, the other woman often feels a sort of a and can't quite put a finger on it in that sense. I don't know what that was, but I felt it for sure. It's sort of when those words came across, etc. And that can be very destructive. Though appropriate to have a wife, a husband, though indeed possible. But indeed, in this case, contradictory. It doesn't fit so neatly one place or the other. And so what I do to handle the contradiction is I drop it. I don't let it disappear. And certainly don't let it fall out of my reality. And that's what was once open, but due to its contradictory nature, now becoming hidden. Still want it,
But I'm going to deal with the contradiction not by resolving it, but by simply hiding it. Too complex, too complicated. I don't want to deal with it. I just assume, tuck it aside and say, oh, I don't have that anymore. No, that's not true for me anymore. I know it is. And I'm lying or fooling myself. And that's the second, the contradictory, the contrariness, if you will, is handled by dropping, but not letting it become totally invisible or falling out of reality. And of course, there are those particular agendas that truly do neatly fit, but on the bottom end of the agendas, the bottom end rather of the continuums, and therefore, yeah, this is destructive, yeah, this is impossible for me. Maybe not for everybody, but for me. I'm living inappropriate. But I want it anyway. I'm going to try. Maybe I can be the exception. Maybe I can be the first person. I'm a map maker, aren't I? Maybe I can be the first person to do this. And even so, even though I know it's not the appropriate, not a possible or not a constructive agenda. Should I have been recording that shit? One girl tits out, thinking a big man. Next girl dance out, licking a bitch out. Grounded was down, my dick is shining. Next minute, man, a black bitch was grinding. Went outside and left and whining. When I come back in, it was 69 in. All over was climbing, chick screaming. Rip cream all over a tit scene. These lying queens were banned and pristine. Remind me a dream I had a 15. Last time I seen was at the club. It was me, two girls, with scrappy laugh. That thing wasn't it, no, it's fast. But now there's enough for the both of us. In the big, my friend Mercedes. Getting a little fast with great weed. I like the girls, I like the ladies. I'm a world driving crazy. In the big, my friend Mercedes. Getting a little fast with great weed. I like the girls, I like the ladies. I'm a world driving crazy. In the big, my friend Mercedes. Getting a little fast with great weed. I like the girls, I like the ladies. I'm a world driving crazy. In the big, my friend Mercedes. Bit like Anna Glover, and I'm up, pick a shot like a classic. I'm a sniper, boom, boom, buff, jacket from behind. That's the time, pull out the anchors. Darling, I want a 1 minute crop. The gun, if you never done the chick rob. She calling the duck, one wicked fuck. True, I like she wants a jungle list off. Darling, I want a 1 minute crop. The gun, if you never done the chick rob. I like she wants a jungle list off. So she calling the duck, one wicked fuck. Don't she yank a bar and I'm wearing. Girls with a dust behind her staring. I love watching Nancy dancing, but the girls with buffers are just dancing. Good girl in the marsh for firing. Who will get spotted whining? Street dog, we're currently rhyming. Got a mama got fucking blinded. My favorite beds are getting shining. When I'm in a rave, when I'm driving. My side coming to face. It's nasty, but you know to the drum and the bass is blasting. Big five rounds like I'm dusking. Try my long thing, they like the garbage. Get high when I drive my car in. Try drink, drive when I'm private parking. In a beam, I'm flying Mercedes. I ain't lean, I'm flying great week. I like the girls, I like the ladies. I'm a world that drives me crazy. In a beam, I'm flying Mercedes. Getting lean off, I have a great weed. I like the girls, I like the ladies. I'm a world that drives me crazy. In a beam, I'm flying Mercedes. Getting lean off, I have a great weed. I like the girls, I like the ladies. I'm a world that drives me crazy. In a beam, I'm flying Mercedes. Getting lean off, I have a great weed. I like the girls, I like the ladies. I'm a world that drives me crazy. In a beam, I'm flying Mercedes.
The missile, found sometime last week, has been inspected at Roswell, New Mexico, and sent to Wright Field, Ohio, for further inspection.
Artemis presumed his call would work. Several government security agencies monitored phone lines using the keyword system. If humans were doing it, it was a safe bet that Foley was two steps ahead. Donning the glasses, Artemis climbed into the vehicle's cabin. He'd placed the call 10 minutes ago. Presuming Foley got working on a trace straight away, it could still be another 2 hours before the LEP could get an operative on the surface. Miss leaned against the cryogenics mobile unit's rear bumper. And wiped a coating of frost from the spectacles he'd retrieved from Butler's jacket. These were no ordinary spectacles. They'd been specially tooled to accommodate filters taken from an LEP helmet.
The second thing is that cops steal, especially from protesters. They steal cell phones, they steal jewelry. So it's really important if you think there's any chance you're going to get arrested, think like five times before taking anything valuable.
dozens of foreign countries still long for a democracy such as ours to be imposed on them.
Now, are there any groups I haven't offended, he said? Thank you. I Doug talking here, and I want to say that I'm going to be on television June 7th, for those of you who don't see motion pictures, and or don't come back here. I'll be on television June 7th on the June 6th, that's D-Day, right, on the Steve Allen Show. It's the last show of the season, and he was caught trying to save the world, Steve Allen. And I'm going to be on the show. It's going to be interesting, and it's fun. It's a very high-morale program. I want to mention that. And I'm only on for car manufacturers, as you know. I was on for Pontiac earlier this year. I have some bounty from that show. It's in front of the club. They gave me a car. It's the first American car I ever had. And thank you. And I must admit, though, I don't want to alienate you, sir, but American cars are not the kick that sports cars are, as I pointed out. I kind of dig them. There's, certain surges, I pointed out, in shifting gears and watching a tachometer and elliptical suspension, all those things. Because after all, how else are you going to get sexual satisfaction? Right, audience? Right? So... anyway, they're the car's upstairs. Now, I really want to thank you all for individual perception and urge you to join arms and sing labor songs. And if things go well, next year we won't have to hold these meetings in secret. And listen, did we really cover everything? I have to know here. Because I thought it was... Yeah, thank you. We have... Geez, you know, it's always the same guy, you know, at least those rallies for Kennedy moves around the room, you know. What's on your mind there? Yeah, where? Whereabouts? Yeah, but I mean, where in Europe? I know they're there. Where in Europe? Bisonia. I'll tell you something about Europe. I might as well close with that. Do you remember an article in the Police Gazette that used to appear every month called Hitler is Alive? Remember that? Remember those articles? And it would always tell how some students who were on their summer vacation had gone to the art fair in Greenwich Village and had run into Hitler there, who was trying to rehabilitate himself and paint and all. And they thought he was a good guy, and then it would always state that these students are not status-ridden, you know, and they wouldn't be impressed with someone just because he was Hitler, right? So much as the fact that he was from Europe, no. So... don't forget to save the cable cars. I want to congratulate you on your attention span. And I'm trying to think, what was the last thing I was going to tell you about Marin? Something happened, though. Oh, they're building a bowling alley in a new student union at Cal. That's depressing. And, you know, you think it's for recreation, but it's probably going to be a major. That's what I was going to... right? Anyway, I now encourage you to break off into buzz groups and discuss the real meaning of the material, and we'll call it a day. Thank you, one and all.
We were used to accompany other instruments, but now we can play solos.
It's ours to be imposed on them. For democracy such as ours.
I want it anyway. Knowing better, I will drop it, letting it disappear, partially or totally, but not the letting go of it. So the agendas become hidden. whether they're on the positive end or the bottom end or in the contrariness of it, because you've been taught, conditioned, because you've been manipulated or threatened, or because you want to deal with the contradictions by ignoring them or blinding yourself to them, or because you want to deal with the inappropriateness or the destructiveness or the impossibility by pretending it's not there.
That when you have government partnerships like that, you have a fraud.
I haven't heard a news story in 13 years. Not one. And then I begin to notice that they're all recycled. And I begin to notice that they weren't personal. I wasn't even doing it. Some thoughts would be there, and then they wouldn't. And they were just like yours, and yours were just like mine. So I began to think, maybe I'm not doing this. And then I began to think, you know, maybe I could inquire and see what, maybe I could understand this. I was so confused, but only for 43 years. So this inquiry really brought me back to a balance that I don't speak of. I call it just, I'm happy a lot, you know, with my wonderful husband and my children and my grandchildren, my friends. So pretty simple stuff. And what I noticed also was things the way they are, on the other side of inquiry, I came to appreciate. And I came to see that this life I've been living was, I was confused.
You're in.
Of course I'm in.
Ignorance was the only problem. That's why I call inquiry education. I educated myself. Another way of saying that is I asked questions and I listened. So that's what we're going to be doing. So first, let's hear the story.
And found out who he was, who he is. It's curious that this title was not... There was already in the whole complex of Hinduism the idea of Buddhas.
Yeah, Buddhas, the arts of Hinduism, the whole complex of there was already something new. Was not
something new. There was already in the whole complex of Hinduism the idea of Buddhas, of... which means to be awake.
Immanence versus transcendence.
Deal with. We have bumper heroin crops.
Absolutely.
Crops.
Absolutely. You know, John, the Taliban was honored guests at and a certain ranch in Crawford, Texas, having barbecue as recently as 2001.
Take the melody, and it's, as you said, it was hard to hear the bass before, but now with the invention of the bass pickup and proper amplification, it's much easier to be heard.
Right, right. And the bass can be a great solo.
Right, it's much more of a melodic instrument.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, our audience is familiar with the 12-bar blues form. We've begun, you know, with the origin of that form back in the beginning of this century, and we've seen how it's evolved. Now,
be imposed on them.
To regain our sense of perspective and wonder, we must take a broader historical view, looking beyond America's relatively recent success story to examine our predecessors and their adorable failures. In this chapter, we will briefly explore the evolution of an idea, following the HMS Democracy on her dangerous voyage through the mists of time, past the Straits of Monarchy, surviving Hurricane Theocracy, then navigating around the Cape of Good Feudal System to arrive battered but safe at her destined port of call, Americatown.
Hear the story. Hear the story of us.
As an agenda. So as you look at it then, it is very possible that some very beautiful, very wonderful agendas can become hidden, even lost. And yes, absolutely so. There is an assumption that a hidden agenda is bad. Oh boy, those hidden agendas, they're bad, they're terrible. You shouldn't have any of those. You are a bad and terrible person if you do. And many times you do feel that, and that of course only makes them burrow deeper, or you shove them down deeper. Me? No, not me. I don't have any hidden agendas. Look, I'll turn around fast. You will not see any around me. But it is important to understand and to let it in that not all hidden agendas are bad ones. They're not all bad. And you're not wrong for having them. And you're not wrong for having them. They are not all bad. But they are all frustrating.
Not so simple. Learning doesn't take place in a vacuum. And video games, just like homework, exist within a wider environment that colors their effectiveness as teaching tools.
That's right. The content doesn't sort of automatically make it either a good or a bad teaching tool. So the same kind of process that we worry about in terms of violent games should in fact make video games a very effective way of teaching certain kinds of content. Unfortunately, there isn't a whole lot of research on the educational aspects, not as much as what you know, would be useful to have. And partly that's because, you know, where the money has gone for the most part is into developing violent games rather than there's not that much money going into developing more positive or pro-social kinds of uses. So it'd be a good starting point to talk about, yeah, this has, and we know it has these effects. Now let's see if we can design some games that have a positive effect, that teach people how to cooperate or how to do math problems or how to read.
So using video games for education is not as simple as you thought, is it?
Apparently not. Now I've got to track down games designed to have positive educational effect. I guess this probably means...
Congratulations, you've completed level one.
Yeah, thank you. I just figured that out for myself.
Chapter 6.
Know this, I have seen what he can do. You cannot get into bed with him without getting fucked. He plays a zero-sum game, that's his drill. Nobody wins unless somebody loses.
Early man, more animal and political. The human race is by nature brutal, amoral, unreasonable, and self-centered. But for the first few hundred thousand years of our existence as a species, we were way too obvious about it. Primitive culture centered on survival of the individual, and occasionally survival of someone the individual might want to reproduce with. Civic institutions were non-existent, as was debate, which would appear later
after the invention of the frontal lobe. For prehistoric man, the rule of law, such as it was, could best be summed up by the seminal case Marbury's Head versus Madison's Rock. Early man lived this tenuous Darwinian nightmare for an age or two, until a peculiar thing happened. The unfittest decided they wouldn't mind surviving either. The feeble and weak realized that without a good plan, they weren't going to make it out of the Stone Age to see the wonder that was clay.
Extra Glassful. And what a delicious glassful. The most refreshing, delightful cola that ever tickled your taste. You can't top Pepsi's tangy flavor. And that big, big bottle saves you money, goes twice as far. Pepsi's America's big, big favorite. And America's biggest cola value. So why take less when Pepsi's best? Whenever you reach for refreshment, remember.
Why take less when Pepsi's best?
And now to Counter Spy. Out in the desert mountains of Mexico, the heat has long since destroyed all life. Except high in the air, the ominous circling of great bloodthirsty birds of prey. And on the hard, sun-cracked earth, a small group of men with one woman moving slowly to the base of a cliff.
You better ask people before you take a picture.
They will. I mean, it's really important to them to have your fingerprints. And they will almost certainly force you to have your fingerprints taken. They'll do it with five guys if they have to, and that's a hassle. And if you force them to do it with five guys, you know, that can be a tactic. But they sometimes do hurt people doing it. So you probably want to think to yourselves carefully about what you're going to gain from refusing to be fingerprinted, and really think carefully about what you're likely to gain from it.
Do not apologize. It's a sign of weakness.
You try a new scam, Bob. It won't be me. The whole system will flatten me.
I'm retired.
You try a new scam, Bob. It won't be me. The whole system will flatten you.
I'm retired. I'm a junkie gambler now. Big loser, that's all. Name the best thief that ever lived.
Bob?
No. Pablo Picasso. Cat stole from everybody. Rubens, Delacroix, Cezanne, Van Gogh, Matisse. Never got caught.
Quote goes, how happy is the blameless vessel's lot? The world forgetting by the world forgot.
Ha ha ha!
foreboding in this first scene. The mood of foreboding and plague and big danger is extreme.
And yet a germ of love in the middle of this, a seed of a possible romance, possible sensual contact. She steps on his foot. In this scene,
yes,
there's
in
physical contact.
Ancient Indian mythology.
That's right. That is a proposition.
That is a proposition to step for a woman to step on a man's foot is a very sexual gesture.
By the way,
gesture.
Now we're on to a very central theme in the first scene, and indeed in the play, which is feet, and feet and travel.
Well, when you speak of feet, what images?
All right. We had her stepping on his foot. We had the talk about his purple shoes. Now, purple is the color of royalty. His fascination with pictures of Christ's feet with blood pouring from them. Now, this is a man whose world is a real down-to-earth world where people are understandable at first glance, where the world is understandable at first glance.
That's right.
He is in a strange, unreal world. Malk is telling us this is not the world of the real. We are in the unreal world in this scene.
And yet it's interesting because in spite of what you say, Dr. Behrens, there is an unreality about the man himself. He seems to somehow not have any kind of a grip on who he is or why he exists.
Exactly, because Malka is coming from the position that, after all, what is real? Is reality so real when it has no grip on
itself?
Yes.
That's true. Well, the supramodernistic definitions of reality have always confused me, because if reality has no understanding of itself, how indeed can it call itself reality?
Well, the supermodernist movement, as you know, is very short-lived, and I think that one of the reasons was that it had trouble dealing with its own conception.
I'm ruthless at the moment.
I really should go.
We gotta catch a better ride.
So go.
Dead. I thought maybe you were a nut, but you were excited.
I wish you'd stayed.
I wish I'd stayed too. Now I wish I'd stayed. I wish I'd done a lot of things. I wish I had. I wish I'd stayed. I do.
Well, I came back downstairs and you were gone.
I walked out the door.
Why?
I don't know. I felt like a scared little kid. I was like, it was above my head. I don't know.
You were scared?
Yeah. I thought you knew that about me. I ran back to the bonfire trying to outrun my humiliation, I think.
Was it something I said?
Yeah. You said so go. With such disdain, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Jolie? What if you stay this time?
I walked out the door. There's no memory left.
Come back and make up a goodbye at least. Let's pretend we had one.
On 4th of July, I went to, I was still out in Los Angeles working on Jam Bob, and we went to Affleck's house for 4th of July. So we were there, and he's a big fan of Chasing Amy, still is kind of this day, like playing the Holden part. And he's always bugging me to write something like that again. He's like, just write. Write something. Write something like Chase Amy again. You got to write it. Who else could write? You got to write it. Write it, man. Write it. Fuck, write it.
Very well. We stop here. Senora. Senora. Listen to me, Senora. And you men, you will listen too. You have all worked for me for some years. I pay you well. No one in Mexico can deny that. But you know too, I will not allow anyone to betray me and live. This woman, this miserable wretch and her husband, one of my most successful operators in narcotics, tried to sell me out. Her husband? He is already dead. And now this woman shall die here.
No, no!
Her death will be a lesson to all of you.
Alone, they were mammoth meat. Together, they would become a force. With a chance to see the day when their children's children would be only 75% covered in hair. And these noble impulses, the groundwork for the first civilizations, was laid.
Cocktail that you like, I think it mocks us that he is going to launch a war on St. Patrick's Day.
So your letter to him says what, in effect?
Well, basically what our letter says is we find it reprehensible that President Bush, because he can't handle a drink, all of a sudden would be so insensitive to those Irish Americans who can't.
Well, let's be clear here. President Bush, for whatever reason, has given up drinking. You say he can't handle a drink.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that President Bush can't handle a drink. Otherwise, why would he quit? And that's the bottom line there. And people who can't handle a drink do have jealousy about people who can. On St. Patrick's Day, millions of Irish Americans and people around the world will celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and he goes and he wants to have his war against Iraq, which shows, I think, a very deep and fundamental disrespect of Irish culture.
Los Angeles, it's the Tom Likas Show.
Oh, you're sick, Tom.
And now, here he is, Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where America gets together to talk about the issues you really care about. A different kind of a radio talk program. We're the radio talk show that is not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon. No, I am your host. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You're going to need it. It's 1-800-580-800. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again on the radio. And, well, you may have seen it last night, a TV show that Tom Arnold confirmed for us the character was based on me. He told us the producers sent him a tape of my show.
every day. Plump figure. Wears too much makeup. Absurd sunglasses. Wide-brimmed hat set at rakish angles. Struts around pool and bathing suit and spiked heels. About 50. Husband, former ringmaster, has had stroke paralyzing one side of face and body. When they're together, she leads him about, holding him under the arm. Once pompous, he's grown meek since his illness. Speaks humbly now, sputtering out of a corner of his mouth. Whenever we talk, bubbles of saliva bursting on his lips. I feel the urge to break into gales of laughter. I grit my teeth. She's friendly. Kisses me whenever we meet. Her lips lingering. Plies me with questions about my monographs and early plays. Where do I get these ideas? Why do I think these things? What will I write next? And she tells me long-winded anecdotes at which I feel constrained to laugh, twisting my face into a smile, my lungs breathlessly exploding air. One afternoon, I stand at my window overlooking the pool. I watch her swim the Australian crawl, which she's just learned from the lifeguard at the club. She swims slowly and self-consciously, her arms moving in an effectively graceful manner. Then she sits on the steps at the shallow end and removes her cap, her dyed blonde hair bursting out and tumbling down to her shoulders. She tilts her face back to the sun, then stretches, a lithesome cat-like uncoiling, and notices me watching her. We stare at each other. Later, still wearing her bathing suit, she stands in my doorway smelling of a perfume that makes my knees go weak. Words flowing from her mouth mingled with the sounds of frogs and crickets, confusing and bewildering me. I think, in my dazed state, looking at her through undulating waves of heat, that she's talking of having a fever, the feeling of a virus coming on. She tells me her glands are swollen, and I gaze distracted at her bosom, which bulges up out of her bathing suit. And then, driven by a force out of our control, we grab each other and throw ourselves down on the bed, begging each other, whispering breathlessly, to stop. What do we think we're doing? What if somebody comes in? A few nights later, I see her kneel before her husband in the moonlight, bathing his feet in her tears, wiping them off with strands of her hair, kissing them, and anointing them with a solution for fungus infection. Last night, two men fought with broken bottles in the bar. Everyone's on edge.
And they can be destructive. It's not a judgment about hidden agendas. It's a realization. Good, bad, that's not the issue. Frustration, potential destruction, that's the issue. So I don't want to drop my hidden agendas because they're bad. I want to get rid of them because they're frustrating and potentially destructive. Why are they? Is it because those hidden agendas are more powerful than the open ones? No. No, that's not the case. Several reasons why they become frustrating and or potentially destructive. First of all, when they are hidden and lost, also, we're not going to keep repeating that dual phrase. When they are hidden, the motivation or the motion or the emotion is often lost. When I have a hidden agenda, I may be motivated all right to achieve it, but I don't have the motion, the actions. And I don't have the emotion to produce success. And therefore, I'm motivated. All right, you bet I'm motivated. But I don't have the motion or the emotion to bring about the manifestation of that. I don't achieve it. I can't succeed. Perhaps in that sensing, I'm not motivated at all because I've denied it. I don't even believe it's there. But nonetheless, the action or the emotion and the emotion may be there. So in that sensing, you see, in order to motivate, to achieve, and to move, have the motion and emotion to succeed, all three of those things need to be there, which is true with an open agenda. Or can be true with an open agenda, but not with one that is hidden. Because when it's hidden, one of those qualities, or more of them, but at least one of those qualities, the motivation, or the motion, or the emotion, is missing, and therefore disrupting the creation, disrupting the achievement, or the success. And that's why those hidden agendas, when they are interweaved with your open agendas, or when they're there instead of those open agendas, create such a mess, such a frustration. Because you see, not everything you do is an agenda. You see, I want this job, but it's not particularly an agenda of mine. But when I attach one of those hidden or one of those lost agendas, then I lose my motion, my emotion, or my motivation to achieve and to succeed. Secondly, because I have hidden it, relegating it to my subconscious or my unconscious, because I have lost it, relegating it to the recesses of my unconscious, I cannot respond. And therefore I cannot be, at this point at least, responsible. Responsible for what I'm trying to create. And without the responsibility, I don't have the power to generate the thing I want, or the agenda that often lies behind it. When I try to control, for example, as my hidden agenda behind my friendly gestures, behind my generous actions, behind my desire to create whatever I'm trying to create, attached to it is this hidden agenda of control. But because it is therefore hidden, I cannot fully, honestly respond. And therefore not be responsible. And therefore frustrate myself, most likely by not creating the success that I seek, and not getting the control that I want either. Because I cannot respond. It's beyond that reach. Thirdly, the reason that these hidden agendas are so frustrating, and so destructive, is because so many of them are impossible or destructive. The appropriateness, inappropriateness is such a relative term. But destructiveness and impossibility is much more concrete in your relative space. And so many of your hidden agendas, as you'll see when we look at what they might possibly be, most of them, if not destructive, are impossible, if not impossible, are destructive.
An angel. We need nothing more than what I am about to read you to give us all a sense of what Satan is like.
And said, WBAI said both its phone and cable lines were knocked out by the fire. The cause of the fire remained under investigation. WBAI relocated its broadcast to a Midtown Manhattan studio. How'd they know that? Until full service is restored downtown. We only just did it an hour ago.
There was some other Midtown Manhattan studio that they were using earlier in the
day. That's
right. And it was announced on the website.
We've been in three studios today.
Wow.
WBAI is a listener-supported operation that bills itself as, quote, your peace and justice community radio station, unquote. They sound like they don't believe us. All right. Here's a letter from listener Danny, who actually is in the studio somewhere today. I noticed that WLIW's BBC feed, yes, that's right, of the RNC convention in New York City was about 45 seconds behind that of the local stations. I'm accustomed to a second or so difference between channels due to satellite bounce relay and or compression delays, but 45 seconds was way too weird. Even an Earth-Moon-Earth bounce would only have been 5 or so seconds. So, anyway, Danny wrote to WLIW, and they wrote back saying, "Hi, Danny, the BBC feeds are delayed 29 to 35 seconds due to the underwrites at the head of the program. Even though it reflects a live broadcast of the moment, it is put on a server to make room for the lead-in. I hope that gives you an answer to your question. It's all about thanking the corporations." And, Danny, if you're listening, you know, I hope that, since you know somebody over there at WLIW, or have contacted somebody, maybe you could also ask them if they know why we can't get the full BBC feed in this country.
I'd like to suggest is an essay on sense impressions and experiences. Satan and his crew are presented with an almost tactile feel. And the making of pandemonium is, in many ways, the making of a world of sensory delight. Think of Mammon. Mammon, line 679 of book one, Mammon, the least erected spirit that fell from heaven. For even in heaven, his looks and thoughts were always downward bent, admiring more the riches of heaven's pavement, trodden gold than aught divine or holy else enjoyed in vision beatific. Mammon, you just see palpably in this scene, Mammon in heaven, always looking down, always admiring the beauty of heaven. Mammon, like a courtier prince who is amazed more by the richness of the king's coffers than the power of his might. What does Mammon lead them all to do? I read on. By him first, men also, and by his suggestion taught, ransacked the center, and with impious hands rifled the bowels of their mother earth for treasures better hid. Listen to those words. Listen to the sound. Ransacked the center. There's your alliteration. Rifled the bowels. What an amazing line.
Okay.
Let's say, you're on the right side.
Yeah, surround it.
A puppy pile is really effective, but it can also lead to somebody not being able to breathe. So it's really important, just to reiterate, that the first person go over like the part, right, not where their mouth is, but right behind their mouth, and kind of hold like, you know, go like this, and keep open space, like kind of like that.
Bridge.
Right, a bridge. And then everybody else gets on top. And it really works. It really does.
I've never not had a pickup. Dunn wouldn't allow it. He'd run out here and carry us back on his skinny fucking shoulders. I said, maybe they gave Cortez the map and compass. Even Cortez would find us, Johnny said. It's nearly a straight shot. Lock and load. Let's go find out what the fuck. Johnny assembles his M203 and me my M16, and we fasten our sniper rifles to our bodies with slings. We patrol tactically the entire route to the assumed battalion coordinates. We speak only in hand signals. Eyes right, decrease speed, increase speed, shift right, shift left. I do not understand. We are once again undergunned and out of support. Two flabby, worthless tits left to jiggle in the wind, most alone in this widest and darkest of lands.
Remember the Alamo. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But why remember a destructive love affair? Here at Lacuna, we have perfected a safe, effective technique for the focused erasure of troubling memories. Our patented non-surgical procedure will rid you of painful memories and allow you a new and lasting peace of mind you never imagined possible. Don't forget, with Lacuna, you can forget.
Nature, therefore, frustrating and potentially destructive. Similarly, it is important to understand what we call the phenomena of focus. You know, when you're focusing on creating something, you need to have a certain singularity of focus. Now, that doesn't mean you can only program one thing and you gotta wait till it happens before you can program something else. No, your lives are far too complex, far too fast for that sort of simplicity, no. But the key here is, whenever you split up your focus, whenever you divide your focus, it is diluted. It is diluted. Well, therefore, wouldn't we be advised to focus on only one thing at a time then, and once we've created it, then move on to a... Well, you can't. In fact, your reality moves at such pace and is getting faster and faster all the time that that sort of solution simply is not practical. But you see, here's what happens. When I focus on this positive thing and that positive thing and that positive thing and that positive thing in my personal life, in my work life, in my health, in my happiness quotients, my interactions, my intimacy, oh, I've got a whole list, 20, 30 different wonderfully positive realities that I'm focusing my attention on, focusing my attention to create. Yes, my focus is being diluted. There's no question of that. But positive energy, expansive energy, compensates for the delusion. So that when I'm focusing on five positive things in my reality, even though it is diluting the focus into five different directions, the very nature of positiveness, the very power of love that lies behind all that is positive, is such that it compensates for that lack of focus. That's why clearly when we talk of the 33-second technique, we talk about so much intensity of feeling, the bliss, the joy, the happiness, just let it really flood for 33 seconds, not a moment less or more. And the key there is that intensity and that singularity of focus on that and that issue alone. And we often tell you, don't let the image change. Don't put a flower pot in this particular visualization and take it out of that one. Don't see yourself wearing a suit in this one and wearing your casual clothes in that. Don't see it inside and outside. Because in that sensing, that's diluting it. So keep it singular for that 33 seconds. And other than that, when you do a general sort of visualization or you do general sort of attitudinal work, however you do that, on the positive things in your life, the beauty of positive energy, the expansiveness of positive energy, compensates for whatever delusion the lack of focus brings.
The methods that they used to find these were actually the exact methods that will later become the integral 2,000 years later.
you like to move on to level two?
I guess so.
The everyday and the degraded versus the beautiful and the aristocratic.
Okay, sweetheart, look here. Well, I wanted to look at what you say about there are no mistakes, everything is perfect, and everything is an expression of love.
In my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really sense deeply that that's true. I experience that when the story falls away, there is just love. And I can look at things in my own life, like being born with one arm, and find that there's only perfection there, and that it's totally interconnected with everything and couldn't be any other way.
Yeah.
But I have difficulty. It seems like there are certain things like atrocities or child abuse, or there's a million examples.
Yeah.
Where I seem to have trouble seeing it as an expression of love.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to. So I just picked sort of out of all of the many possible examples, I just picked one.
And so you could say the Buddha is the man who woke up from the dream of life as we ordinarily take it to be and found out who he was, who he is. It's curious that this title was not something new. There was already in the whole complex of Hinduism the idea of Buddhas, of awakened people. And curiously, they are ranked higher than gods.
Difficult businesses, these changes never end. I can't tell you how often I was asked in the early 80s, is it over now? Unfortunately, it's never over. Of all the businesses I was given as a sector executive in 1977, none seemed more promising to me than GE Credit Corp. No one paid much attention to GE Credit. It was the orphan child in a manufacturing company. We entered the business in 1933 almost by default, helping our appliance dealers move their inventories of refrigerators and stoves in the midst of the Depression by providing consumers with credit. We also financed furniture sales, because most of our dealers carried those lines as well. But that's about all we did for the first 20 years, from the 1930s until the 50s. Then we branched out. By the late 1970s, GE Credit had become diversified, but was still small. We were financing manufactured houses, second mortgages, commercial real estate, industrial loans, leases, and private label credit cards. In those early days, I didn't understand the intricacies of finance. I had the staff prepare a book that translated all the jargon into layman's terms. I called it Finance for Little Folks. However, my gut told me that compared to the industrial operations I did know, this business seemed like an easy way to make money.
Athens, our big fat Greek forerunners. Ancient Greece is widely credited with creating the world's first democracy. It would be a worthy endeavor to travel back in time to the Pheta-strewn shores of 5th century BC Athens and ask Plato to define democracy, and not only to make money gambling on Olympic results that we, being from the future, would already know. Plato would tell us, in that affectionate but non-sexual way of his, that democracy is a Greek word, combining the roots for people, demos, and rule, kratia. In Greek democracy, political power was concentrated not in the hands of one person, or even a small group of people, but rather evenly and fairly distributed among all the people, meaning every John Q. Publicopolis could play a role in Athenian government. The main legislative body, the assembly, was comprised of no less than the first 6,000 citizens to arrive at its meetings. And bear in mind, no saving seats. Jury duty was considered an honor to be vied for. Membership in most other civic institutions, including the Supreme Court, was chosen by lot. Imagine a system in which anyone could wind up serving on the Supreme Court. Anyone. Think about your own family. Friends. The guys you knew in college who would eat dog feces for $10.
However, when you focus on contrary things, when what I want is this, but underneath it is also this, destructive or negative or hidden or lost agenda, now I'm being diluted the same way. But the contrariness does not compensate. The contrary energy does not make up for the dilution.
You never know, Butler had said. Someday, Commander Root could be replaced with someone who isn't quite so fond of us. Artemis presumed his call would work. Several government security agencies monitored phone lines using the keyword system, and if humans were doing it, it was a safe bet that Foley was two steps ahead. Donning the glasses, Artemis climbed into the vehicle's cabin. He'd placed the call 10 minutes ago. Presuming Foley got working on a trace straight away, it could still be another 2 hours before the LEP could get an operative on the surface. That would make it almost 5 hours since Butler's heart had stopped. The record for a revival was 2 hours and 50 minutes for an alpine skier frozen in an avalanche.
Well, as I was thinking about the Biosphere 2 project,
yes,
out in Arizona, one of the things that they learned was not that the elements and the weather patterns had such a dramatic effect on what occurred with them, but it was the power plays within their personalities. And this transition time where we are products of a huge amount of space right now, mm-hmm, and we are going to have to reinterpret everything that we're doing for a boundaryless environment.
Streak?
Is that possible, Bob?
Maybe not, but you could give me the illusion.
An illusion? I've got plenty of that.
So how much does illusion cost?
The usual.
Got a prime here, Saeed. Should I stick with it?
What's a prime?
Special number, divisible by itself and one.
You're a mathematician, Bob.
Yeah, chaos theory.
Thank you.
those of you who have worked, for example, with an I Ching and thrown an I Ching to get a hexagram at a particular issue or a particular question, you know, if you're at all experienced, that you should never throw the sticks or throw the I Ching a second time for the same question. Well, why not? Well, if I throw and ask, am I going to get that job, and I throw this hexagram, if I say it again, am I going to get that job? If it's real, if this thing really works, I ought to be able to get the same hexagram. But it doesn't happen. Why not? Because, you see, the first time you asked a question, am I going to get this job? The second time you asked a question, am I going to get this job? But you also put in there the second question, will this work again? Two questions, not one. The duality of focus, and one happens to be a contrary one, doubt, disbelief, doubt, cynicism perhaps, whatever it might be. An agenda of proving this stuff doesn't work. It's not that proving it doesn't work is more powerful than wanting it to work, but the split, the duality of the focus, dilutes your energy, and the negativity or the contrariness does not compensate, as it were, if it were diluted by only positive energy.
So, the integral is a procedure by which we take something that we're interested in and divide it up into little tiny pieces and combine them to get a whole.
This is our 12th lecture on the Second World War. We're going to examine Japanese thinking behind their assault on Pearl Harbor, the planning for war against the United States, their options, the role of Admiral Yamamoto, the man, the architect of the Japanese planning for the attack. We'll examine this daring military venture against the American installation at Pearl Harbor, examine the reasons for Japanese success and the American defeat.
The meme about memes.
So who are the real terrorists, John? Yeah.
In on the loop.
All patients of Dr. Howard Mierswack. My name is Mary Spivo.
We've met, but you don't remember me.
You don't remember me.
I worked for a company hired to have part of your memory erased.
I've since decided that this
is a
teaser
ad or something.
And in order to correct this, I'm sending everyone's file back to them.
My name is Clementine Krasinski. I'm here to erase Joel Barish.
What is this?
I don't know.
He's boring. Is that enough reason to erase someone? I've been thinking lately how I was before and how I am now, and it's like he changed me. I feel like I'm always pissy now. I don't like myself when I'm with him. I don't like myself anymore.
I can't stand to even look at him. That pathetic, wimpy, apologetic smile, that sort of wounded puppy shit he does, you know?
What are you doing?
He's not doing anything.
The bloom is certainly fucking off the rose at this point.
Are you screwing with him?
No!
You are screwing with me.
Joel, I'm not.
You clearly are.
Look, okay, let's just take a minute and...
Because in the view of Hinduism, even the gods, or the angels, the devas, are still bound on the wheel of the sort of squirrel cage of going round and round and round in the pursuit of success.
And so the contrariness of it, often diluting it to the point that you don't get what you're after, and often end up not getting that agenda either. But the frustration, of course, is I didn't get what I wanted because the agenda got in the way. Hidden or lost, it got in the way. Similarly, as one might suspect, if my agenda is a very negative one, lower end of that spectrum, and thus a very negative agenda, certainly the split, the defocusing of energy, is going to, in that thinking, disrupt, producing the frustration, and even could go so far as producing or resulting in a destructiveness that certainly I don't want to have ultimately in my reality. So it's important to know it's not just for the lack of motivation or motion or emotion, or simply because it's beyond the realm right now of my response and my responsibility, or because it's negative, or because it is destructive or impossible, but also because of the phenomena of splitting your focus can dilute and therefore frustrate and destroy. Also, and in sadly many cases, the very agenda that's hidden is more powerful than the thing you desire. The particular thing I want to create is often very temporal, but the agenda is more long-lasting. I've had this agenda for years. It's only last week that I wanted to create this or wanted to create that. And therefore the agenda has much more energy. The agenda has much more power. And I'm going to want to do that more than what I state, more than what I tell myself I want to create. Also, this agenda may well have been one that I should have dropped, let become invisible and let fall out of my reality. But I didn't let it fall out of my reality. Why? Because I want it so very badly. I wasn't willing to stop it as an agenda. I was only willing to hide it. Only willing to hide it. And to that end, in that way, that infidelity, if you will, where I'm hiding what I really want, that becomes what I really want, as opposed to what I say, what I ask for, what I tell other people that I want. I'm not about to go up to people and say, what I really want is to feel totally sorry for myself. See, then it would be open. No, no, no. I gotta hide that sucker. Absolutely. I gotta drop it. But I don't let go of it because I really, really want it. And now in that sense, as I'm applying for this job, as I'm trying to create this, as I'm trying to work with my higher self, as I'm trying to do any number of these other things that I really want, the thing that I really, really want takes precedence. And therefore, because I want those agendas more than what I desire, expect, and imagine in my current reality, I often end up getting them or getting nothing.
a mental environment in a certain sort of way, but yet we are still encased in meat. And the science fiction stories do help us to relate to these new worlds, the Klein bottle brains, going from the white hole into the black hole and this whole circular theory. But at the same time, we are still here, and we are still getting speeding tickets, and we are still getting sick, and we are still trying to put people in jail for what other people think are injustices. How are we going to make that transition from, or at least without too much loss of life, from one mentality, go over the edge or the event horizon of this?
No, that's great. From now on, I'm going to be speaking in Belzonics. Belzonics is a system of language that reduces anything anyone else says to total nonsensical bullshit. Somebody says to you, hey, Bells, you want to go out there? Yeah. Hey, Bells, my uncle died. Yeah, it's great. No, it's really good. Yeah.
The transition will have to happen through self-selecting, self-evolving choices made by a large number of human beings, but it will have to be, the question does come down to an economic one in a certain sense, because right now we have on the planet, roughly speaking, about 100 billionaires and about 1 billion hundredaires, and that is that compounded by the sheer numbers of human beings, that polarity is an unstable situation. And the work of Manuel Delanda, the War in the Age of Intelligent Machines, he points out that the onset of war can be understood as the onset of chaos in a flowing liquid.
Meat to the point where I would eat it slab right off raw. Love my meat. I turned it around. You need to be committed. You need to be passionate. No red meat. No red meat for 30 days. No red meat. You've got juice already. Three things is all I did to change my life. Three things.
Listen to this. Saturday night, last Saturday, I was hosting the Adult Video Awards in Las Vegas at Caesars Palace. They have awards like the Emmys, the Academy Awards, but they're for porno movies. And it's really amazing. They have like best female and a gangbang thing. And this girl was up there crying going, I'd like to thank my husband who stood behind me. Yeah, stood? Is that what he was doing, standing? I'd like to thank my husband who wheeled my uterus home in a hand truck. You guys are really too sensitive, I'm telling you. I can't wait till I get to the part with the nuns with Tourette syndrome. So, And I'm there, my wife's with me, and she gets to meet some of these actresses that are in these movies, and she goes, you know, Bob, they're like regular people. I mean, the porno movies, that's just their job. That's, you know, they do that. But when they go home, I mean, they're just regular people, just like our garbage man. I mean, that's a dirty, horrible job to have to do. But when he goes home, he's a dad, and, you know, he's not in a dirty thing. And I said, yeah, but the garbage man doesn't take it up the ass and jack two guys off at the same time. Maybe he does. No wonder he's late all the time.
Also, even when one of those hidden agendas is a positive one, the really good one, not because I was taught or because I was conditioned or because I was so threatened or manipulated that I dropped it but not let it go, even if it's a positive one and somehow does happen to show up, does happen to burst through and display itself in my particular reality, well, I don't know how I did that. I mean, why did that happen? Where did it come from? It just sort of dropped in my lap. It just sort of showed up. I'm not aware of creating that. Not because I create my own reality, but I couldn't possibly tell you how. Creating that, I must have, because I create my own reality, but I couldn't possibly tell you how. And ironically, even though it may be a very wonderful reality creation, it still produces frustration. And for some, even destruction, in terms of it drives them crazy. When things go well, some of you have experienced that very thing. In the midst of your angst and struggle and hardship, all of a sudden an oasis of success, and you freak. Oh my God, everything's working. Oh my God, everything's changing. My reality is all this and that, and this is different. Stop! Put on the brakes! Let me get back to what I'm used to.
Artemis peered out of the rear window. A fairy was crouching on a third-story windowsill, a recon officer complete with wings and helmet. After only 15 minutes, Artemis opened the van door and stepped down into the yard. To his dismay, Artemis saw the fairy draw a platinum handgun. He raised his hands. Don't shoot! I'm unarmed! And I need your help! The fairy activated its wings, descending slowly until its visor was level with Artemis's eyes. Don't be alarmed, said Artemis. I'm a friend to the people. I helped to defeat the Boakel. My name is... The fairy's opaque visor slid up. I know what your name is, Artemis, said Captain Holly Short. What's going on here? Where's Butler? Artemis pressed a button, and a pneumatic pump opened the cryopod's lid. Butler lay inside, encased in a centimeter of ice. Oh, no, said Holly. What happened? He stopped a bullet that was meant for me. Holly peeled away a cold pack from the bodyguard's chest. How long? Artemis consulted the clock on his mobile phone. 3 hours, give or take a few minutes. Captain Short laid her hand flat on Butler's chest. Not a flicker. Artemis faced her across the cryopod. Can you do it, Holly? Can you heal him? Me? I can't heal him. We need a professional warlock to even attempt something like this. Artemis pulled a gold medallion from a leather thong around his neck. The disc was perforated by a single circular hole, dead center. Remember this? You gave it to me for ensuring your trigger finger got reattached to your hand. You said it would remind me of the spark of decency inside me. I'm trying to do something decent now, Captain. It's not a question of decency. It just can't be done.
passed in 1821, died in 1881.
Okay, now, I know you got a brain full of information. I'm probably preventing the flow of that.
Naval base. Castro's been cutting them off day by day, and the American papers are pretty, you know, scorched about it. And he's been, first of all, he wouldn't let the water supply in, according to them. Then he tried to organize the 3,000 Cuban laborers there, and it said the admiral in charge of Guantanamo was quoted in the paper today as saying, it's pretty grim that our men have to mow their own lawns now. They can't hire Cuban help. And you know, and the women have to, you know, do the kitchen work themselves and all. But he said it might be good for them for a while. You know, it's kind of a change of pace. And this is kind of interesting. And then it said Castro has closed down these houses of ill fame which ring the naval base there. So I knew eventually Castro would go too far. That's what I was coming for. Right? No man is that big, right? Power-hungry dictator. So he has no sense of reality, Castro, according to our papers. He also wouldn't allow any girls up in the hills when the rebels were in the hills. You had to marry any chick you were with. Pretty moral, huh? So now, so much for that. Now back to our theme, which is what? Oh, the other thing is De Gaulle. I want to mention that. De Gaulle was here, and a lot of people cheered him. A lot of kids I saw were yelling. Some kids in Lowell High School yelling for De Gaulle and all. And I never knew why, because they don't even know where he was during the war, because they're all like 12, you know, those kind of people. You know, and they don't remember Truman and all that, you know. So they don't know, but it shows how hard up we are for a hero. I think that's, you know, the point. You know, you'll be fine. Don't change a thing, you know. So he's here, and he was here, and then he rode around. They took him to the financial district, and he drove around Montgomery Street there, where all these people are walking up and down, going to the office with Van Tan on. And, right? That's it. What do you think about Van Tan? I'm philosophically opposed to it. I know, you know, because if you can't believe in the sun, what can you believe in? You know? I know. Thank you for the sun. I came to help you carry the sun, Orpheus. Right? Well, okay. Now, the only other point is, what's our other premise? Oh, De Gaulle. So De Gaulle was taken to the financial district, and there's a picture of Nixon talking to him in Washington and telling him that they're going to drop paper on him. That's what they do in a financial district. When they're not jumping themselves, he should have said. But anyway.
Extreme economic polarity.
Say most people worked here, most people lived here, knowing of the interior, knowing the interior mountains that seem to ring this civilization, ring this continent, and knowing that beyond those mountains was the magic land, was the place that the mystics would learn to become the mystics that they were. And often it would be that children, or adults for that matter, but often it would be children would dream that they should cross the mountains and go to become a crystal climber. And indeed, as they'd relate the dream, sometimes the parents would know what it meant and would take them there. Other times the parents would be totally oblivious of the meaning and ardent curious, but not having any answers to it. And they would become the travellers, some of them the witnesses, some of them the teachers, some the healers, and some the dreamers. that often would come from the interior and seem to seek out those who had the calling, those that were intended and meant, whose destiny called them to come to the interior, to become the crystal climbers, as they were called. And indeed, often at carnivals and at festivals and at various celebrations of solstices and equinox, those that came, those mystics, would often bring and gather together those that would travel with them. And indeed, if you were such a person that was so called, either in dream or in insight of meditation, or given the message by a teacher, a healer, a witness, a keeper of the flame, a keeper of the truth, or a dreamer, indeed, you would travel with them, often weeks, often months, sometimes even years, as you would cross these interior mountains and go to the interior land. Sometimes it might take as much as a decade before you would finally reach your destination. And the reason that you were called a crystal climber is because in this interior there were pillars of stone. They were like columns of stone, natural, of course, not man-made or human-made. But we would suggest they reached up maybe 100, maybe 200 feet above the lushness of the tropical forest that was the interior. And on top of them were cities, huge cities, much as you might imagine Shangri-La or Valhalla must have been. Certainly so, perhaps the first concepts that heaven was a city of gold, a city of brilliant light, because in Lemuria, these cities that sat on top of these pillars of stone were called crystal cities, not because they were really made of crystal, but because they glowed and glimmered as though they were crystals. And indeed, those such as yourself called would come and sit at the base. Sit at the base with that teacher or that person who brought you, or sit at the base being called on your own, and you would learn to teleport. You would learn to alter your energy, alter your chemistry, alter yourself such as to visually disappear to those who would be sitting around you, and then to reappear, to rematerialize, if you will, at the very top of this pillar of stone in the city, the crystal city that was at the top. You see, there is no other way to get there. There's no elevators, no staircases, no rope bridges, no little indentations that you could laboriously climb. No, the only way to get to the top was to teleport, you see, and that's the way. No one had to judge anybody else.
Charlie 1, that's a negative. Orders are to stand down until notified.
If you couldn't make it to the top, if you couldn't teleport yourself, then you didn't belong there. I know pain.
Yeah.
I know struggle. I know hardship. I don't know this ease and comfort and everything just happening because I program it, because I visualize it, because I ask my higher self and boom, it's there. I don't know that. But I do know the other. I have a years of experience with the other.
You're always so stupid. Did you take lessons?
I took lessons.
Guys are going, gee, this guy's pretty funny. How come we don't see him on television?
And you see, when a positive agenda that has been lost or hidden all of a sudden surfaces, it can be oh so frustrating. And then you think on top of it you must be crazy, and your friends probably tell you you are too. What's wrong with you? This is great. Why are you scared? Why are you freaking out? My God, if I could create half of what you have in that same thing, I'd be, you know, on cloud nine. I'd like to have your problem, they say, you know, these kinds of wonderful cliches. But don't really help it go away at all. So even then, even when it's a very positive agenda that pops in, it can be very frustrating. And for some, it can become very destructive.
I'm going to miss you, Major. You aren't ready to stay dead. You don't know the rules of the game anymore.
Tell me about it.
Budget cuts, dear. Congress blinded us overseas. I was forced to turn to any eyes and ears I could find, even if that meant recruiting the quote-unquote bad guys here.
Budget cuts? Is that what this is about? Operation Honeymoon. Fuck me. You're running a fundraiser.
Fundraiser?
1993. World Trade Center bombing, remember? During the trial, one of the bombers claimed the CIA had advanced knowledge. The diplomat who issued the terrorist visa was CIA. It's not unthinkable they paved the way for the bombing, purely to justify a budget increase.
You're telling me that you're going to fake some terrorist thing just to scare some money out of Congress?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Hennessy, I have no idea how to fake killing 4,000 people. So we're just going to have to do it for real. Oh, blame it on the Muslims, naturally. Then I get my funding. Good night, old girl. Timothy, I'll be in Chopper One.
No, just her.
Sam, I'll be waiting for you to come rescue me.
Be just a minute.
And if indeed you belong there, you would learn, you would be able to, and you would teleport yourself. So those who were there were never questioned for their credentials, for the very fact that they were there was credential enough. And those in that same thing who demanded and insisted that they belong there, they just knew it. But alas, if they couldn't get there, then no one argued with them. Indeed, their reality reflected the fact that they did not so belong. And in these crystal cities, they would learn, you would learn. Some of the cities were cities of healing. Others were cities of teaching. Others were cities of dreaming. Were those occupants, those who went there, those who became the inhabitants of these cities, high upon these pillars, learned to do their particular avocation, vocation, to fulfill their spiritual destiny. Oh, after the decade of traveling to get there, and maybe 6 months or 8 months learning to teleport, you might spend indeed 10, 20, maybe 30 years in this city, learning and growing and teaching. And in a certain time, there would be those who would know that now they must go forth, they must go back into the world, go back from where they are sitting on top of this pillar, and they must go back and heal and witness and guard the light and gain the truth. And those to dream knew that they had to return to dream. And so they would teleport once again, leaving this wonderful crystal city, and once again materializing now, maybe as we say, 10, 20, maybe 30 years later, and go forth into the world to travel from the interior back to the exterior, not often to their own land, no, not from where they came initially, but to where their work calls them. The teachers would go and teach, and the witnesses would go forth and witness. And those that were guardians of the light and guardians of the flame would go forth and perform the functions of their guardianship. And those that were the dreamers would go forth, and they would dream. Now, a dreamer was a very special kind of person, for they were the person who could dream other people's dreams. And Lemuria, there were those, they were rare, admittedly so, but there were those that could dream dreams for you.
therefore as a person in Lemuria, if you could find a dreamer, you could tell them what you wanted them to dream for you, and they would dream your dreams for you. They were androgynous people. Often it was difficult to tell whether they were man or woman. They were often very old, and yet seemed to be ageless. They were often very large, but yet seemed to be almost translucent, and therefore very light. Sometimes they were very thin and very fragile and frail, but yet almost extremely great.
Before I do that, I'd better check in with Paul.
Paul?
Yes, Paul Kennedy, the host of Ideas. You know, back in the real world of radio.
You think radio is real? That's not even interactive.
Look.
Most of our cash. You're up for consorting.
Oh, shit, man.
He says Sal to keep is keeping all this shit down in Florida until guys like Brody were all knocked off.
Shit.
No one's got a thing.
Except Big Tim.
Well, shit, let's go see him.
He ain't selling. He only giving up for pussy.
What?
Pussy. He's hooked on the thing, man. I told him I'd give him all he wants. He said I ain't cute enough for him.
Still encased in meat.
Betsy's desk.
And now back to Counter Spy. It is hot, blazing noon in the desert mountain, Mexico. When Pepsi's best.
Pepsi. Cola so delicious and it's bottled.
Tied to the upper attitude, then cut straight from above. This method is essential for knowing the way of the longsword well. If you can use this method, you can freely wield a heavy longsword.
The creation of the morning line. The morning line runs about thus. Cliche, 6 to 5. Originality, 5 to 2. Treachery, 4. Hope, 6. Malfunction, 6. History, 8. Medicine, 10. Syphilis, 12. Kindness, 15. Law, 20. Crime, 20. Copulation, 30. Love, 50. Forget overlay. Love never won yet. Since platitude with an overnight scratch. If you can get 3 to 5 on cliche, put down everything you've got.
Mm-hmm.
going from the white hole into the black hole, and this whole circular theory.
Speaking.
Mrs. Goldfarb, this is Lyle Russell from Baylin & Block.
I'm not interested.
Wait, Mrs. Goldfarb, I'm not selling anything, nothing. I just want to offer you a chance to be on television. You see, Baylin & Block...
Television.
That's right, Mrs. Goldfarb. Television. Congratulations.
Look, I don't have
I'm
any...
I'm not looking for money, Mrs. Goldfarb. I'm calling to tell you you've already won. Baylin & Block discovers contestants for most of America's television shows. You've already been chosen from a long list of potential contestants, meaning you've already won.
Oh.
Yes, Mrs. Goldfarb.
I never thought I'd be on television. I'm just a...
That's right. You on television. We'll be sending you all the necessary information in the mail. Goodbye, congratulations, and take care.
Picture him as the randomly chosen Chief Justice, you'll appreciate just how fucked up the system was.
We are still encased in meat.
Your moral persuasiveness and your commitment. And it can also be really important for a media and political pressure campaign on the outside. Don't believe the cops. They lie to you all the time.
They'll say lots and lots of things that will tug on you, and it's really, really hard. They do not have your interest in mind. Ever. Ever. And in fact, they are professionally trained in intimidation tactics. To not only make you feel afraid, but to make you feel small. Part of our power, the strength, is to help each other hold our own power and our strength. And by acting together, it reduces their capacity to dehumanize us and intimidate us.
And the idea is that if you pursue something that you can call success, pleasure, good, virtue, which originally, of course, means strength, magical power. All these positive things. You are under illusion because the positive cannot exist without the negative. To be, you only know what to be is by contrast with not to be. So if we say, now, there is a coin in the left hand, there is no coin in the right. And from this you get the idea of to be and not to be.
Yeah, maybe if I...
And you can't have the one without the other.
Play that backwards.
So if you try to...
You can erase this misconception about...
There is...
this trip around here. One of the four tenets of the domination consensus reality. Either or. Not both. Don't fall for that hot water, cold water. Taking the sublime and rending it swine. As per regs, in the current I-Man army, I think I speak for all of us here. I'm going to speak for all of us here. New metaphysics. Walk in the line. Or however I'm walking, just draw a line that away. Then we'll all be in the same envelope. Communicating.
Oh, jazz.
Ensemble.
What this shows is that if I can convince you of a formula for the volume of any tetrahedron, then we'll be able to know what the formula is for the volume of all tetrahedrons.
Quoting passages from Dostoevsky's poem, then, The Grand Inquisitor, Fromm observes that the frightened individual seeks above all for somebody or something to tie his self to. He cannot bear to be his own individual self any longer.
See what I mean? I mean, if you've gone underground in one area, why eat the rest of it? What is this? A freaking restaurant? Next, you're gonna have somebody shit for you. And a third guy to wipe.
Dreams for you. They were androgynous people. Often it was difficult to tell whether they were man or woman. They were often very old and yet seemed to be ageless. They were often very large but yet seemed to be almost translucent and therefore very light. Sometimes they were very thin and very fragile and frail but yet almost made of steel in that way and therefore very dense. A juxtaposition of opposites, of paradoxes, or often what the dreamers look like. Often very old, but yet seeming so youthful. Often very young, but yet seeming so very old. There were this contradiction, this combination. And they would be in a place. Often they would be found on the other side of a gazebo. And you would go to them. When they were ready to receive you. And they would ask you, what do you want me to dream? And then you would tell them. They would ask you a series of questions, certainly so, to which you must answer correctly. And if you so did answer correctly, then they would close their eyes and seem to settle in a deep and wondrous sleep. And then they would dream. And they would dream your dreams. And they would dream your dreams into reality. Lemuria is a land that imagination forgot. As you can spark your own imagination, as you can travel on a quest, crossing the terrain of Lemuria to find a dreamer, you too can ask the dreamer to dream your dreams. And if you answer the questions correctly, they will dream your dreams into existence. For dreams exist inside of time and space. And the dreams the dreamer will dream for you will not manifest in Lemuria, but will manifest in your reality, in your world, in this most monumental decade, the 1990s. The dreamer can dream your dreams if you will cross the bridge of belief and journey the land of Lemuria to find the Lemurian dreamer.
Mud streets, it suggests to us that the animals are commonly present on the habitation site and that that would only happen if they were domesticated. At this point, we're going to turn to what we can learn from human bones. Almost all human bones are found in burials, and the only exception to that is human bones that are found in sites of war. The earliest human burials were left by the Neanderthals more than 70,000 years ago. And in a marvelous study done about 25 years ago at a site called Shanidar, the archaeologist Solecki discovered that Neanderthal saved and took care of people who were injured or old, people who could no longer work, and that when Neanderthal buried the dead, there were flowers placed in the graves, and that the information about the flowers comes, by the way, from pollen analysis, because the flowers are long gone, but a French paleontologist took a look at the soil and was able to recognize a large number of different kinds of flowers, many of which grew at different elevations. And so she suggested that the flowers were gathered specifically to be placed over the body of the dead person.
You're too old to do that.
You're in.
Of course I'm in.
What?
books, you know. She's more of a magazine reading girl. Her vocabulary leaves something to be desired. Sometimes I was embarrassed in public.
Hi.
She would pronounce library.
Hi.
I don't know,
Gary. Look what I found.
I think if there's a truly seductive quality about Clementine, it's that her personality promises to take you out of the mundane.
Make me look skinny.
An easy burning meteorite. It'll carry you to another world, a world where things are exciting. But what you quickly learn is that it's really an elaborate ruse.
I'm sorry I yelled at you.
Access to any other realms.
It's okay.
It's a kind of obvious way. Still seduced.
Joel, I really like you. I hate that I said mean things about you.
Let me turn this off, okay?
Hey, it's only fair.
Where's the real Clementine? I mean, the whole thing with the hair. It's all bullshit.
I really like your hair.
It's so pathetic.
I really like your hair. Thank you.
Shit. The world's a goddamn mess. It's all change your hair color. I mean,
you want a drink or something? Do you have any whiskey?
I don't think her sex is motivated. I saw it clearly the last night we were together. It wasn't sexy. It was just sad.
Hey, sorry, I thought there were some more.
The only way Clem thinks she can get people to like her is to fuck them. Or at least dangle the possibility of getting fucked and burn them. But I think she's so desperate and insecure that she'll sooner or later go around fucking everybody.
I don't do that. I wouldn't think that about you.
Because I don't.
I know.
Because it really hurts me that you said that, because I don't do that.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry about all this. I'm gonna go. I'm a little confused. I don't really think I can be here. Bye.
Bye.
It wasn't nice meeting you at all.
We're lost to spend that much time with someone only to find out that she's a stranger.
Wait.
What?
I don't know.
What
just
do
wait.
You want, Joel?
Just wait. I don't know. I want you to wait for just a while.
Except Joel, I'm just a fucked up girl who's looking for my own peace of mind. I'm not perfect.
I can't see anything that I don't like about you.
But you
right
will.
Right now, I can't.
But you will. You know, you will think of things. And I'll get bored with you and feel trapped, because that's what happens with me.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Ha 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 ha